Oh, what happens when you pair up Woodstock's Marshall Karp and Newburgh native James Patterson to write a best-selling novel? Well, you get a best-selling novel and a book with incredible nonstop action, a Patterson trademark, and great Karp characters and very, very funny, crisp dialogue, which is why Marshall Karp comes into the equation, and because he writes them. NYPD Red is the pair's second collaboration following up last year's bestseller, Kill Me If You Can. An award-winning former advertising executive who once worked with James Patterson in that capacity, Marshall Karp is a playwright and screenwriter and has written and produced numerous TV shows, and of course the man behind the wonderful Lomax and Biggs series. You can find out more information about Lomax and Biggs by going to his great new website, which is karpkills.com, Karp, K-A-R-P, kills.com. It's always a pleasure to welcome Marshall Karp to the program. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Joe, for having me back.
Despite
what happened the last time.
Hey, we'll always have you back. You're great. We love having you on the
show. Tell them who else is here.
Yeah. your dog Kylie's here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking great and a very sweet, affectionate dog. The last time you were on was for the last book you did, Kill Me If You Can, with James Patterson, and you and Jim were on together, and which, you know, was a little awkward. But
I thought he'd never leave.
Yeah. But so now it's just you, and I'm glad. So now you can tell stories. But so you did another book, so we assume that the first collaboration worked well, that you would do another one.
Yes. Do you want more?
Sure, I'll take more.
Yeah. Actually, because of the Lomax and Biggs series, which is two LAP detectives, Jim wanted me to write a police procedural with two new cops and put them in New York. And I came up, we do everything in tandem, even though we may never see each other during the course of writing a book. It's
right.
Phone and it's email. But we came up with NYPD Red, an elite force of, you know, well-trained cops who answer the call if something bad happens to the rich and famous. Now, if Donald Trump got mugged, do you think he'd want the cop on the beat? No, he'd want the mayor, or he'd want the police commissioner, or at least some senior cop who knows how to deal with the rich and annoying.
Yeah, who would touch him? So this would be the elite force that would come in and kind of take care of their reputation as well as the cities, of course.
Right.
Yeah. And
it's by the way, it's the mayor's idea that to run the city like a business, if you are a frequent flyer on an airline, if you really are their bread and butter, you get platinum privileges. You'll get into a club. They'll put you in the front of the line. They'll give you the better seats when they're available. It's the same concept. The people who generate money for the city, and in the city it means entertainment, it means Wall Street, it means fashion, it means publishing, you know, as well as certain amount of tourists, these are the people they'll cater to.
So, as you mentioned, Lomax and Biggs is an LA series. And so this book was a delight because you're a New Yorker and you get to write about New York.
It was fun. I didn't have to Google where they might, you know, if I say, I need to kill someone in a laundromat. I wonder where there's a laundromat in Los Angeles. Thank God. I would like to thank Google right now, without whom, and Google Maps, without whom I couldn't have written anything.
So you get to write about New York and have that be your milieu, and that's fun.
I love the flavor of New York. It's a real city, whereas Los Angeles is a lot of neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And New York is a real city, and then you can take from the neighborhoods. And you know, it's funny. In the advance copy, they said it's Manhattan's elite police force. It's not Manhattan. That just happened to be written by one of the publicists. It's New York City because some of the stuff takes place in Queens, Silver Cup Studio.
Right.
Some of the stuff takes place in the Bronx. It's wherever trouble is happening where NYPD Red has to go.
So give us an idea of how the partnership works. So because and Ray mentioned this in early on in the program that I mean the Patterson name has become a bit of a franchise at this point, right?
It's a brand. It's like Disney. I actually asked them recently, what happens if you don't live forever? And the brand will continue. Look at the Ian Fleming brand. Look at James Bond. It goes on.
So his involvement and level of involvement is what?
Well,
I'm asking you the question that everybody wants to know.
Well, without going into detail, he produces approximately 12 books a year.
Which is insane. I mean, it's great, but good God.
It's business.
That's a book a month.
It is. He is the book of the month club all by himself.
Look at this. Look at this, Marshall. In the back of this book, and they do it all in the back because they can't fit it in the front. This is the books by James Patterson. And then it's five pages of just all the books that he's come out and all the different series.
For those of you who can't see this, I am now looking at what Joe is pointing to.
The Alex Cross books, the Women's Murder Club featuring Michael Bennett, the private novels, the standalone books. Then for readers of all ages, there's Maximum Ride, Daniel X, Witch and Wizard.
Stop talking about Patterson.
Okay, but my question is, so then you get in that, and then... Can people who are even fans keep up with all of it?
It is amazing how fans can keep up with it. And then there are fans of certain series. There are fans of Alex Cross only. There are some people who will look at the standalones and decide if they want to go for it. This was just NYPD Red was just hit the stores 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And already I can see that there is enough buzz online, especially on Amazon, that, for a series, which is good because I'm already writing NYPD Red 2. This is a character driven series. This is two characters, two cops, Zach McDonald. I have a grandson named Zach and Zach Jordan and Kylie McDonald. So I have a grandson named Zach and a dog named Kylie, and those are the heroes. And they are teamed up on NYPD Red. And in the first chapter, Zach is upset because Kylie is suddenly his partner, but she's also the old girlfriend that he never got over. She's married. And so there's the man-woman sexual tension that most readers, especially if they're female, really enjoy. And there's the drama of and above all, you have to have an absolutely insane villain. You have to have a villain as good, if possible, as Hannibal Lecter.
Stir, mix, and enjoy.
Yeah. So how I work with Jim is normally, and he does this, the basic outline is he will provide an outline to his writer. The writer will, this is, say, 2 years before the book comes out, the writer will flesh it out. Jim will approve the new outline, and then I will send him chapters, 6, 8, 10, as we go along, and he'll give feedback. Sometimes it's just, yeah, it's fine, keep writing. And sometimes it's, no, this character is off center, or I want more drama here, or do this. So he does this all day long. And in the middle, he produces a movie like Alex Cross. So he's a busy guy.
And the other thing I find fascinating is like the Alex Cross series, I think, is the only series that only one book he has written with a co-author where he holds on to that franchise.
That's the one he wants to write.
Yeah.
And the beauty of working with him on NYPD Red was he really let me write because he knew this was my genre. This was two cops. And, he let me figure out a way to bring in some Hollywood people to New York City so I could start killing off the same. Oh, I forgot. What word can I use? The same jerks that I used to work with in
That's
Hollywood.
Okay.
And it's really fun. It's fun. It's very cathartic for me. Can you imagine if you could murder the people that you used to work with that drove you crazy and get away with it? I sleep well at night.
In a fictional sense, yeah, I can see where that would be very nice. You look at an operation like this, and I think, it's got to be great. The one thing that I applaud James Patterson for is, the cover of the book. your name is as big as his. I mean, that's cool.
Thank my agent. Now, before I started writing with Jim, I already had 4 books to my credit.
Right.
It's so, you know, amazing to read some of these reviews. Like, when they love this book, it's like, James Patterson, you've done it again. You're the master. And if they hate the book, it's like, why do you hire these unknown co-authors? So, you know, basically, I'm here today
right.
to pimp the fact that I have a few other books, and Jim liked them enough to want to work with me. The fact that we knew each other we've had a great relationship over the years. And by the way, there are some of his books that I never could write, never would try to write, and he wouldn't ask me. It really, he does know his audience, and he does know his writers, and he goes for the strengths. I'm flattered to have my name that big on a James Patterson book. It gives me the kind of exposure that I've always been hoping for.
And you look at somebody like Andrew Gross, who has written a lot with James Patterson, mm-hmm. and then writes, you know, his own stuff as well that is done quite well. So there's people that get the recognition from it after a while.
Absolutely. And I am, because of the help from Jim, there is now a demand for another Lomax and Biggs book, which I will write on my own. And it's a great relationship for a writer. And if you can get your ego out of the way, and, you know, people are applauding Jim for the great job he does, that's fine. They're going to go out and buy this book, and every now and then they're going to say, I wonder what the other guy, what's his name, wrote. Hey, I have reached an age where I am so delighted that somebody wants me to wake up in the morning and do what I enjoy doing. As soon as I get home, I'm going to kidnap a woman in New Jersey.
No, you're not.
I am. It's chapter 44. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And then they're going to pay me for it. And then I'll get to be on the air with guys like you. Well, there are no guys like you.
Well,
with you.
Thank you. It's one of the things I find. One of the things I hope is that, look, these books sell a ton. You're already number two, number three.
We will be number two. The New York Times list is a couple of weeks behind the actual sales. So the first week of sales, we will be number two in hardcover fiction, behind J.K. Rowling.
And the Casual Vacancy.
Yeah. Oh, Harry Potty Mouth, whatever it was called. Yeah.
And so you'll be on the New York Times bestseller list. You're selling a ton of these things. You can't go into a bookstore where you're not where you see a million copies. And basically, this is my long-winded way of saying, you know, hopefully you're getting a piece of this.
I am getting a huge chunk. And in fact, your next fund drive, Joe, I am going
to. I don't care about that. I worry about you. All I worry about is you.
Listen, I am telling you, I would do this stuff for free.
Yeah, no, but
Jim, Jim is the brand.
Yeah.
But he pays his co-authors well enough to keep them interested so that they will be happy to remain in obscurity, relative obscurity. Come on.
So they don't want to, in other words, you don't, he doesn't want you to do too well.
No, he's, I would direct people to Forbes to see how much money made last year.
No, it was coming out of his ears.
It's, well, I'm hoping he's not listening. Now, Jim does very well, but he pays. He's a good boss. He's a company. He has, you know, it's funny. I've talked to a couple of the co-authors, and they said, you know, maybe we should unionize and get rid of them. There's a lot of money in this company. I said, yeah. Now, Jim is good to work with, and yes, I do. After writing 4 books and not getting paid, except in some cases where the publisher went belly up and I got a garage full of books, it's nice to get paid to do something you absolutely love.
So do you just get a check, or do you, you know, if this thing goes into 9 million copies, you know?
Are you kidding me, Joe? You're not allowed to ask that.
All right.
You know, I, no, I, I, I think that what I do very well if you can convince people to go to my website and look at the other books. That's kind of the
satisfying. You know,
by the way, there's for me, I really, my wife, my kids, everybody can, I've never been about making a lot of money. I left a big job in advertising, went to Hollywood. I've been about psychic reward. Why do you work for public radio?
Well, absolutely. You do it for the headman. But here's the thing. You know, it's like when Friends was on the air, and they say, well, the show's making, you know, $40 gazillion, and the actors were making $150,000 an episode, and they all banded together, and they said, well, you know what? We ought to be making at least like $7, $8 million an episode, because there wouldn't be a show if it wasn't for us. And I thought, well, that makes sense to me. It's an obscene amount of money. That's stupid, but there is a fairness issue. I'm not trying to create trouble. All I'm saying is if you say you're okay, I'm happy with that.
I am happy. And remember when the air traffic controllers went on strike, Reagan fired them all. So
yeah,
it doesn't always take.
No, but you, but in other words, so, and you are also able to do both. You can do this, you can do Lomax and Biggs. People can read the past books and find them and go to your website, carpkills.com, and everything is good.
Yeah, I'm concerned that at the end of this interview, I will get, you know, emails from people who want me to buy investments and nobody who wants to buy books. But I think it's so much fun that you really care. Maybe when we go off the air, I'll tell you some secrets.
Okay, well, that's fine. You know, the thing about it is that your first books, and that's why I loved this particular book of reading, NYPD Red, is because you could see... You know, I can really read you in it. Having been a fan of Lomax and Biggs, and then reading this book, it was as if, you know, you were allowed to go and fly for a little bit.
And one of the reasons I dropped LomaxandBiggs.com and I went to Carp Kills is because now I'm branched out. And I will say one thing in the interest of commerce not related to me. There's a whole section on my website called I Love Vitamin Angels, and
your
that
charity.
Is the charity that I have been working for 10 years. And if people just go, and NYPD Red is dedicated to Howard Schiffer, the founder of Vitamin Angels, and to the organization, because that has changed my life dramatically. And again, psychic reward. You get to a stage in life, especially for me after 9/11, where it's about how you live your life and what you do with it rather than how much you make. And I know I'm supposed to sound funny, and we went into the, you know, part where I need a treacle cutter, but it being me right now feels terrific.
Yeah. Well, you know, if anything, get you more money so you can, you know, get the charity going.
Well, you know, we do a lot for the charity, and the charity, since I joined it, has gone from having sponsors who will send $5 to sponsors now like Coca-Cola and Whole Foods and Sam's Club that will put up $1 million. And for every dollar that somebody donates, we can prevent 4 children in the third world from going blind and most likely dying. It costs 25 cents a year to give these kids a megadose of vitamin A. And so generating money for the right causes, you know, I don't know how we got off into this. I used to write murder mysteries and be funny, but this actually works for me, because if anybody hears this and they give a dollar to Vitamin Angels, they're going to walk around feeling good all day.
And if you could just go to the website, carpkills.com, in the right-hand side of the webpage, there's a link right there. There's also a link that is, it took me a minute to figure out what it was. It's just called Darlings. And those are your stories.
Well, those are things I had on Lomax and Biggs. I wrote about 100 blogs, and there was, you know, I wasn't going to archive them all, but there were some that I just couldn't kill. And, you know, I think Faulkner said it, and then Stephen King said it the best. You know, a writer has to kill his darlings, because there's always words that you just can't give up, and your editor says, cut it.
Yeah.
So I buried my darlings in the Carp Kills archives.
If you go to carpkills.com, you can read about the Darlings. You can read about the wonderful charitable work. You can read about Lomax and Biggs. And, of course, Marshall tells his own story, which is just hilarious and an awful lot of fun to read, with pictures, I should add. The new book is NYPD Red. They are sworn to protect and serve New York's rich and famous. It's NYPD Red. NYPD Red 2 will be coming out at some point.
It'll be finished in about 3 or 4 months. When it comes out is
up. Is that who you're killing in New Jersey?
I'm not killing her. I'm kidnapping her.
Oh, you're kidnapping her in Jersey.
Oh, God. We don't want her to die.
But that's yeah. This? Oh, okay, good.
That's Red 2.
Excellent.
Boy. Talk about tipping your hand.
Yeah. NYPD Red, it's a New York Times bestseller. Marshall Karp is the author, along with James Patterson, and published by Little Brown. Marshall, it's always a delight to have you on the program and to bring us into how the sausage is made. I appreciate you being here.
Joe, you are definitely one of my darlings.
Well, thank you very much. Right back to you. Again, Marshall Karp and the book with James Patterson, NYPD Red, published by Little Brown. Go to his website, KarpKills, K-A-R-P, KarpKills.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.